This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. We got some breaking news. Now, not for you people, because we're recording the show a little bit earlier in the week, but Drew's on Jodi Arias patrol. Watch. There's first off, can we hang that cunt already? She's ruining my life, Drew.
Yours?
Oh, yours. Well, you get paid.
But your wife is so... You mean because your wife's so into it?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Yes, she texts me, you know, whenever I'm in the air.
No. Listen. Yeah. The timing is bad, yeah. But I've had this discussion, it's an ongoing discussion I'm having with almost everyone on the planet, which is... Please act like you're interested in things that are going to make us money. And I get I am interested, except for I will look at your actions. We've talked about this every show, which is I have a problem, which is I'm trying to sell something called Mangria. I go around the country killing myself doing these signings and these bottled things and these tastings and stuff.
I've seen them. They're fun.
And that part's fun. The part where I'm talking to the confused DJ in Napa who has no idea what I'm talking about, and then I'm saying, check my website, and there's nothing on the website that says I'm doing a signing is the part that's not fun. And I say...
It's still happening?
Oh, it's still happening. Everything still happens. Yes. I say to everyone around me, if I'm going to be somewhere... If I'm going to check my schedule, if I'm calling in to a show and going to be somewhere, such as Napa, the Uptown Theater, coming up on the 18th, then there's a very, very good chance that I will be doing some sort of signing, tasting something with Mangria. Thus, you must check the website and make sure it's represented on the website. Now, the good news is that's going to take a grand total I'm going to round up to 5 minutes. Me, I'm going to take a Southwest flight, and then I'm going to drive here, and I'm going to drive there, and I'm going to stand around for 3 hours signing bottles and taking pictures, and then I'll do a show, and then I'll get on another Southwest flight. That part takes a lot of time and is fairly tiring. This part, very easy, but essential and needs to be done, but I don't want to do both parts. I will do the super difficult part. You will do the easy part. I've had that conversation with everyone who's around me.
There must be something about – I'm just thinking about this. Because I have the same thing on my website where something extraordinary will happen and I'll look on the website and it'll be materials from a year ago that aren't relevant. And why is that up?
Yeah.
And I go, I just want a bunch of Prisma awards. You think maybe somebody wants to kind of put that up there or just make a little note of it somewhere?
Well, they're not going to do it, but if you tell them and they don't do it.
Well,
yes.
So I call and go, why isn't this happening? Why should I have to call every time? Isn't that the purpose of a website to be able to keep on track? Anyway, so here's – and then I think right here as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, oh, no, wait. It's us. It's you and I. Because websites – think about people that have websites that are up to date and talking about all their glorious activities. That's done by the person themselves always. We got none of that in us.
No, I don't. But it started with me saying back in the day it'd be live dates, but the dates would be 2 weeks old.
Right. Or they'd be wrong date.
No, they'd be the right date, just in the past. You need a time machine to see me because I'm already back from Minnesota. All right. So Drew's got to do a little Jodi Arias talk because a verdict has come down. Now, it started off with dates that were 2 weeks old. And then I would say to those around me, you must go on the website. You must check the dates. You must be the keeper of this. But those kind of talks can only go so far because people have a limited interest. It's, by the way, it's how the government works.
You're getting paranoid, dude.
No. What I'm saying is
everything goes back to the government these days with you.
No, what I'm saying is If you knew.
Yeah, it doesn't matter to them.
The waste and the fraud.
Yeah. If it was your business, you'd take care of it.
Yeah, if you knew. What I'm saying is this. If you handed somebody, if every day you got paid in cash at the end of the day, you just got paid in $20 bills.
Yeah.
Here's your $1,000, Drew, for your day's work. And someone handed you a neat stack of $1,000. And you went, okay, now what I owe you, guy in the Undertaker's outfit? And he'd say, I want $400 of that. And you peeled off $400 and watched that pile go from $1,000 to $600, right? Mm-hmm. And then you saw him take that $400 and you went, well, I'm going to flush $70 down the toilet. You'd be like, what? What? No, what are you doing? And then you'd want, well, here's 20. That's going toward mothballing some battleships we're never going to use.
Yeah.
And then here's some defense contractor that's going to work on something that we're never going to do. And this one's going to a guy who claims he has a bad back. He's on disability, mm-hmm. but it's been 4 years. And we actually saw him doing a rodeo last week. But anyway, first, you'd be a little pissed that your $400 was missing, but then when you saw how it was being handed out, you'd fucking freak.
Yeah.
But what happens? It just kind of gets deducted from your paycheck, and it's going off in a million direction, and somebody talks about schools and teachers and potholes and roads, and you just go, oh, fine. And it's just out of sight, out of mind. You're just moving forward.
Yeah.
But if you were there, if you cared, could see.
That's the principle of the invisible hand.
Right.
Right. That's the private sector thing. The public sector doesn't have those sorts of forces at play.
So what continuously happens with me is I plug dates, but the dates aren't on the website, and I never stop screaming to everybody, you must be in charge of this.
Are those
but
two
can't
up?
Get them to own it.
Those are on the website. The two he's about to announce.
Yes,
on the website.
That is right. Napa, that's the one we're talking about at the California Shiners, and that is May 18th, 6 p.m. That, and of course, so then it leads into deeper confusion because the DJs have no idea what I'm talking about. I thus am confused because they don't know what I'm talking about, because why else would I call in?
Right.
Because the show that we're doing is about sold out. So if you go to the Uptown Theater website, you'll see there's a couple of seats, literally 9 seats left. There's nothing left. But I figured out StubHub or somebody buys some of these seats and may have a cache of 30 or 40 seats. So if you're desperate, you can go. But the venue is about sold out. So in my mind, I'm just plugging this Mangria tasting, except for they've never heard of it and it's not on our website
either. I got to tell you, I am more pissed than you. Here's why I'm more pissed.
Who are you pissed about?
You saw the thing that flashed. Gary Heftar flashed up on the board there. Drew has to be out at 10:40. He must be at the studio at 11 o'clock. They were saying, they're saying, I've got to be there. Fucking world's coming to an end. I'm going to sit there at 11 o'clock
of course
for 45 fucking minutes.
Don't get there at 11.
I'm not going to get there at 11. Don't worry. But as it is, and if I'm not there at 11, they're going to be fucking spinning like tops all the way to Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just,
the phone will keep ringing. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you?
And that's more of that no concern for our time part, too.
Well,
we just need you there.
Listen, as we've discussed, people care about what they care about. People, I've said this a million times, most people would rather have you wait an hour over have them wait a minute, or have you pay $10 over them pay 10 cents if it comes down to that.
Yeah.
So there's an element of who cares? I'm not interested in this. And what I try to explain to people is maturity is you being interested in things you're not interested in because it's the right thing to be interested in.
But funny you would say it like that, because I would say because you could take another person's perspective. You have that crazy compass going where this is right, this is wrong, that those scales are always – I have the crazy codependency, so I see other people's point of view before I see my own.
Yeah. But anyway, so I had a lovely morning where I woke up very early, and then I made a bunch of phone calls and then had the same conversation I've had with almost everyone on my staff about getting those dates up on the website. It's a weird thing. But I said to Lynette, look, you have to check the website and you have to check my schedule.
Well, speaking of that,
and you have to do it every day.
That'll be that. We got to call her.
She's already there. She told me she's texting you about the Jody Arias trial.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
But we got to call her. The verdict's coming in. We got to get her in front of a TV.
I,
Gary, come on now. Give her a text.
Here's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Jodi Arias doesn't make us money. It makes you money. It makes her attorneys money. Mangria makes money. Mangria puts food in the refrigerator and potentially puts kids through college.
Yeah.
I want the focus.
Yeah.
I don't. The reason I have no interest in Jodi Arias is because she has no direct effect on me, my kids, my life, or my bank account.
But she's a bitch. She killed somebody.
Right.
She's a horrible person.
Okay.
You should hate her.
Well, first off, can I say this?
Yeah.
There are people who kill people. It's not that big a novelty. It takes place, sadly, every day. And if you want to go around the world, multiply it by maybe 10, maybe 10 million. People are dying all the time, number one. Number two, she, and I know this to be true, she's thin and she's white and she's young, and thus it's a big deal. If she was a big, fat welfare mama.
She has fake breasts.
There you go. Yeah. If we're talking about big, fat, black welfare mama who stabbed pimp, we have zero story. So it's sort of weird to pick your stories based on what people look like and how much you want to be drawn into it. It's kind of an elitism, which is, oh, there's a novelty. I mean, there's just brown and black people are getting shot in Chicago every day. It ain't no big whoop, but skinny white bitch does something, and now we got an issue. But bigger and more important, just not directly, I'm not directly involved with it. There's room, by the way, for Game of Thrones.
Mad Men.
And Mad Men and Dragons and things like that. I get it. Yeah. I get it. I like to watch The Fast and the Furious. I get it. Something to do with cars. I like cars. The point is there's plenty of room to be swept away. This is almost leading someone else's life for a short period of time, which I don't condone because there's so much to do in our own life.
It's a weird mob mentality people get into. There's a lot of mob stuff going on these days with social media and the way, you know.
Yes, I can't wait for this fucking trial to be over because I'm tired of fucking hearing about it.
How about the guy that kidnapped those three girls?
That was
interesting, wasn't it?
That's crazy. But again, I am not. Here's the deal. Come tell me when we're done with crazy. Then that'll be a news story.
No more crazy people, you mean?
Well, here's what I'm saying. If you have a news outlet and you would like to start your nightly broadcast with no more trouble in the Middle East, I'm all ears. Mm. You want to start it with trouble in the Middle East? Unnecessary. That's right up there with slow and go on the 405 at 8:15 in the morning on a Tuesday. I expect if you tell me traffic report, 405 freeway southbound, smooth sailing,
not as far
as the eye can see, and it's 8:15 on a Tuesday morning, there's a news flash. Slow and go. Look out for brake lights, bumper to bumper, on the 405, and look out on the 101, 405 exchange. There's traffic. Not news. Trouble in the Middle East. Not news. Somebody nutty did something horrible to somebody else. Not news to me. I know we're consumed with it, but it seems redundant, repetitive, and has nothing to do with me.
Well, hold on now. All drama, whether it's Greek tragedy or musical comedy on Broadway, whatever you're looking at, whatever people sit and watch, fundamentally, it's sick people doing sick things. Fundamentally,
sure.
That's what attracts our eyes.
Right.
So news and reality shows, all that, no different. No different.
I agree, and there's enough.
I don't know why we're that way, but we're that way.
Well, first off, what goes on with these trials that they go on for a year and...
Well, we're so flush with resources in the state capitals that we just have to, you know, make sure justice is metered out carefully because we have nothing but dough in Arizona, California.
This is where, Drew, how far away are we from my functional MRI lie detector thing?
Oh, people are talking about it. People talk about it.
Well, as we know, everything I talk about comes to fruition, so this will be
done at some point. There will be some. There are brains that you can see lying now in a functional MRI. Whether you can standardize it, that's going to happen.
What if the world, and when I say the world, I'm talking about the smart countries, got together and said, we're going to work on this. We're going to take our greatest scientists.
How long would it take?
Yeah, to create.
2 weeks. If they really focused on it, I mean, the world, 2 weeks.
To create what we would call a standard.
It would not take that long to really.
And then a protocol. Protocol is administered by a nonpartisan whoever.
Yeah, but we have lie detector tests, and you see how those are admitted in court every day. No, cannot have.
What I'm saying is the lie detector people say, oh, he beat it or he didn't beat it or whatever. But I am talking about Star Wars
standard,
sort of a standard that is administered. Like, first off, this notion that this thing could be corrupted, you know, fine. It's administered by – look, we have people flying airplanes, right? There's 300 people in the airplane. They can fly into a mountain if they so choose, but – we have testing and certification and standards and training.
Are you implying that science isn't something other than just another point of view? Is that what you're implying?
I'm saying that they have this notion that, oh, yeah, but what if the guy's running the machine is in the back pocket of the defense? It's like,
Jesus.
That guy doesn't get to run the machine.
Right.
He's certified. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, like, I know it works.
We do it like we do everything else.
But people are so paranoid and so
dumb. It's superstitious. Mm. We have people that are certified technicians in many, many important realms that we rely on.
Licensed and certified. That's why we have licenses and board certification, things like that.
There's guys who work for the FBI. They go through background checks. Yeah. If it turns out they were either in the Crips or the Bloods for a number of years, then they don't get into the FBI.
Probably not.
So they have background checks, then they get certified, then they get monitored, and that's how we have our system. So we would get those guys, we would certify them, we would monitor them, and then we would have these devices that were on a world standard.
Yeah. No, it's going to happen. I agree with you. I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be much longer than you would prefer.
Of course. Yeah. And everyone goes, well, how are you going to beat our system? Our system, this dog and pony show that never leaves my television set that's been going on for 8 months and it costs millions of dollars.
And why is Lynette into this? What tracks her to this stuff? Did she want to be a lawyer at one time? That's what I understand. Why do people watch these court cases? What? What, Gary? You're pointing at me.
I think she watches it because she likes watching you.
Nah.
She does like you. She likes you on the show a lot.
She probably likes all the guests and stuff I have.
No. She thinks you're great on it, which is awesome.
Well,
but,
I need to come on her podcast.
Yeah. She's
that'll make you money.
We would love to have you on.
Let's
I can
do
barely
that.
Schedule you for your own podcast.
Well, I'm going to be here all week doing stuff. Let's get
right.
it. Let's bring her
we'll
in.
We'll get you on.
Yeah.
All right.
Or bring her into. Oh, I don't want to do that. I'm not supposed to talk to her, you told me.
Who?
I was thinking, Lynette, you told me a long time. When we first started podcasting, you said stop talking to her, so I did.
No, talk to her as much as you want. Just stop agreeing with her.
Okay.
Agree with me.
Or if I'm talking to her, I'll make sure you're making money.
She watches the trial because of the Schadenfreude part of it,
I think. Which she doesn't seem like that kind of person. That's why I'm surprised.
I know, but all women hate all other women.
Yeah.
And then there's you. She loves you on the show. And all I'm saying, can our long national nightmare end with this fucking trial so we can get back to work? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And again, I don't... The interest in things, that's fine. But to me, and I feel the same way with teams, you know, people call me all the time. What do you think the Rams' chances of coming back to L.A.? It's like, I'm fucking old. I have kids. I have a business. I don't give a fuck about people that are half my age making, you know, making $9 million for signing bonuses. You know, at a certain point, you have to stop giving a shit about people that aren't you. And that aren't in your immediate circle.
You're just waiting to die. Be fair.
It'd be nice.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, after this morning, I was like, God fucking damn it. Really? So, no, what I'm saying is, look, I think we can all agree. Let's just agree about this.
About what?
The guy who has been to Disneyland 2,600 times and has a tattoo of every Disney character on him. Is a sad sack of shit.
Okay.
Right?
Given.
You look at him and you go, this guy's entire identity is wrapped up around...
Fantasy.
Yeah, Walt Disney had an idea.
Yeah.
This is his idea.
Yeah.
This is not your idea.
Yeah.
And by the way, all he's doing is taking your money.
Right.
the tattoo parlors taking the money for the, you know, seven dwarves you drew on your cankle, and the gift shop takes more of your money, and then every time you show up, they take your money.
They're happy to and, just feed your obsession.
And this guy's friend or advocate might say, yeah, but he enjoys it. And you go, okay, but...
His whole life. It's pleasure. Brings him pleasure. Who are you to say?
But you're now living your life through the life of Goofy and Dumbo and the Pirates of the Caribbean. And to us, that feels empty.
Yeah.
Because to us, you feel like, oh, no, you should be writing a book.
You should be doing something. Raising a family or something, at least.
Whatever.
Let the kids enjoy that. You can enjoy it through them, maybe.
Do you want your legacy to be, I was the guy who went to Disneyland a bunch of times? See what I'm saying?
Yeah. When you say it that way, I actually get sad thinking about it.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
So then I then look at variations of that. They're the guys who are really into the Steelers. And it's like, all right, that's his team. But at a certain point, you know, he's missing his daughter's rehearsal dinner because the Steelers are playing in the playoffs and they're playing the Patriots and he's got tickets.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And so at a certain point, you're kind of leaving money on the table, either emotionally or physically.
Spiritually,
because you've decided to follow some team, some organization, some band, some group, some Jody Arias, something. You're following something. And again, distractions, fine. Relaxation's fine. Hey, that's what I do. I play dominoes. You know what I mean? Or I like listening to his music. All right.
Well, but you could argue
I like to play a little banjo.
You could argue you and the Cars are similarly distracting. How dare you?
Yeah. No, it is. It is, but I would at least argue this way over me and Disneyland guy or me and Pittsburgh Steelers guy.
Yeah.
First off, physically I have something at the end of the day. I have a bunch
you
of cars.
Created something, yeah.
Of cars that are worth something.
Yeah, yeah.
When I die, you're not going to be able to sell the skin with your Disneyland tattoos on it.
Yeah.
But you will be able to sell Paul Newman's race car for five times what I paid for it.
But people are going to be critical of you focusing it all around dollars.
No. I get a charge out of
it. Yeah, you get something.
But it's not happiness. It's satisfaction.
Yeah.
Which then bleeds into other facets of life.
Well, that's a whole other topic, by the way. People don't understand what happiness is. And I would argue that satisfaction is a very important – gratification is an important part of satisfaction.
Way more important than happy.
Happy like euphoria riding on the Pirates of the Caribbean, getting your tattoo. Woohoo! Not substance. No, nothing contributed. I think contributing is, and that's what's missing in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
But not to get overly defensive, but here it goes. I feel like, there's something tangible about what I do and what I collect.
Well, you could argue that you're contributing something by recreating, bringing back to life some of these cars.
And number two, I have to turn my brain on.
Yeah.
I have to work on these
cars.
You're
creating something.
I have to figure this stuff out.
You
have to show up there with spare this and spare that.
Yeah.
Everything needs to be dialed in beforehand. We're working on fabricating brackets to mount the seats and stuff like that. I'm making drawings. And, you know, fabricating things.
You're creating something. It's a creative
endeavor. So it costs something.
So you could argue that creativity is an important missing piece in Disneyland.
Yeah, it's like somebody says, you know, what's your sport? And you go, free climbing. And it's like, all right, that involves your muscles and your brain
doing
and
something.
Your wits. That's not riding a Disneyland thing. And that's what I'm saying to people. Have your hobbies, but have your hobbies involve you. Your hobby is your team. That's not really you. It's not. There's no point when Big Ben Roethlisberger would look up into the stands and goes, "Where's Jerry?" And if it does come to that point, then by all means, they need you.
Yeah, then that's fine.
Right.
Something different then.
I'll tell you what you need. Pro flowers, baby.
I do. It's Mother's Day coming up.
Oh, my God. Coming up. It's tomorrow.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. No, you still have like 3 days. That's right. But let's get moving, people. Oh, I scared myself for a second.
Yeah.
Dozen rainbow roses, just $19.99, or double the roses, and you get the chocolates and the premium pink vase or vase.
Ooh.
I'm highfalutin. $29.98. That's 50% off. Make mama happy this year. See, I can't do it for my mama because she knows about Pro Flowers. Oh, maybe she doesn't. I think I could do this.
I think you pull it off.
I could pull this one off. All right. I can't pull it off with my wife. I can pull it off with my mom. Only way to get this deal, go to proflowers.com, click on the microphone, top right-hand corner, type in Adam and Drew. That's Adam and Drew. That's proflowers.com. Remember when a dozen roses was $120?
I remember for sure it was like 70 to 100. That was like routine.
Thank you.
Right?
All right. That was like half a crap on my point, not a full.
I didn't say no. I said not only that, but I remember.
All right. The point is, it was never $19.99.
Never.
Never. Now it is. Proflowers.com. Click on the microphone, type in Adam and Drew. Adam and Drew. And offer expires soon, so let's get cracking. All right, Drew.
Yeah.
Now what are you going to do?
I'm gonna keep working here until Gary drags me out.
All right. You want to take
some
phone calls?
It'll be, sure.
What else you want to talk about?
I was gonna read one of those things for you if you like.
Read what?
Stamps.com. I love that thing.
You don't read it, baby. You feel it.
I feel it. All right. I can do without.
It comes from your gut. Hold on. Anything happen? Anything going on in your life?
Yeah,
what's
tons,
going on?
Tons. You know, the aging brain, not meant to do what I did last weekend.
What'd you do?
I was in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Had to, because it's Jody Arias, had to do a show on Friday. I was
supposed to go
to New England to watch my son Jordan's rugby game at Williams. They were going to beat the shit out of Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And no, you'll be here till 10 o'clock because it's Eastern time, 9 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to leave the studio and haul ass to New England, 4-hour drive with other son and wife in tow.
Mm-hmm.
Get up, go watch the rugby game. Congratulate my son on his win. Get in the car, come back to New York City 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And time for my daughter's play, which was a big success. Get up in the morning and get in a plane, come to Los Angeles. And by the end of that, I was delirious.
Yeah.
It's something about driving, the time zones, the altitude in planes. And all I can tell you is the weirdness of driving through the woods of New England versus driving through South Central home from the airport.
Mm-hmm.
It was so stark a contrast that my brain almost couldn't process it.
Well, I'll tell you that one of the problems with the driving through the woods versus driving through South Central on the way home from the airport at LAX is you cannot play the super popular game, which I like to play, which is find me the car under $1,000. That is a stretch. That stretch of 110 freeway from where the 105 hits it to you get to the 110.
Yeah.
Or where you get to the 101.
Yeah, the 10, really, yeah.
I've seen fucking donkeys with, like, Space Saver spares on them.
Yeah.
And 26 Mexicans piled on top. And a lawnmower and a leaf blower. I've seen cars that, like, we have a competition where it's like, that car is not worth $400. By the way, they will then break down in the middle lane, and that's where a lot of traffic comes in.
The other thing that was there to behold when I arrived on said trek around the 105 to the 110, mattresses on the roof of a car.
Oh.
You don't see that in New England.
Not so much.
Mattress. And I literally had the conversation with my wife, like, what? Why? What are they doing? What do they think they're doing? Why so many mattresses on the roof in Los Angeles? Why does that only happen in Los Angeles? Answer was, mattresses are expensive.
No.
That was her note to me. And they cost a lot.
No.
What?
Matt, no.
I know. It didn't
delivery is an extra $33. That's the problem.
See. All right.
It's awesome. Also, I think they're trying to get pubic lice out of them. I think a lot of people. No, it's a fact that if you can get over 50 miles an hour with the thing on the roof of the car, pubic lice are only good. They're good to like 49 miles an hour. I've done testing in wind tunnels.
That's what's in my windshield.
Yeah, I've done my. I brought my pube patch out to Edwards Air Force Base. We threw it in the tunnel. And
then you threw birds at it.
That's different testing.
Oh, sorry.
That's different testing.
Oh. Frozen birds, no?
Yeah. So Jody Arias, hopefully found guilty. I can't take any more. I can't take any more.
Yeah, it's not. If I weren't covering it, I wouldn't be watching it.
All right. But, Drew, where do you come down? Because, look, there's literature. You read literature.
Yeah.
That's something that someone else created a long time ago. But I do feel like, you know, when people do, it's very easy to people to point, you know, and they go, my following of this or watching this is no different than you and your love of whatever, classical music, and you sit. But I do feel like certain things in life, and I've talked to Lynette about it. Lynette says she finds it interesting because she finds out how the trial system works and how people work and all that.
Huh? You could read about that in 5 minutes.
There's something to glean from human behavior.
Okay, all right.
But to me, let's not confuse sitting and watching something happen with participating in whatever your archery or whatever your sport is.
But it's funny you would say a skill sport, because I think that's the part that is missed. To really appreciate, let's say, classical music or philosophy or something, you got to do a lot of groundwork first for a long time. Then that appreciation is like, whoa, that's very arousing and rewarding now. It's not just, oh, I'm listening to G minor symphony.
But what is, can I ask you this? And maybe it's the way we're wired versus many people on the planet. When I walk into the den and I see the kids and Lynette all playing Mr. Toad or, you know, fucking Wapo and Ginny jumping on a mushroom.
Yeah.
And then they're screaming at the TV and going to the next level and going through the waterfall of fire and stuff like that. I just go, what are we doing? And they go,
it's fun.
Join in. And I go, I don't know why. And they go, it's because it's fun. And I go, but I don't, making it atop the magical mushroom and then getting through the waterfall of fire and landing on King Neptune's triad, it doesn't mean anything to me because it's not happening.
Right.
If it was happening, it would mean something to me. And I understand, well, then what? Why watch a movie? And I don't know. You could make that argument. For some reason, I can go watch a movie. But I don't want to play a video game. I have no interest in the video game because there's no end game
to
the video game.
Nothing to be learned. Nothing to be experienced here other than just these little...
They're having an experience. Yeah. I'm not having an experience. Yeah. I don't care whether I fall off the mushroom or I get to... Neptune's triad, because it's still the same to me.
Yes, I'm the same way. Video games do. I just not.
People say to me all the time, "You got to get into this, man. You got to play this. You're going to love this." And I go,
"Why?"
I have a simulator which I've not worked out yet that has various tracks around the country to go learn the track on the simulator, which is a form of a video game. But I feel like I'm learning this track.
Yeah.
Via this video
game. That makes sense.
Right. But just...
It's an exercise, really.
Getting on top of Super Mario and trying to avoid the dragon flames, it doesn't feel like anything to me.
There was something to be learned or an exercise to be experienced or something other than just the little tiny... So the gold coins popping up, whatever.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Then I think my wife would say, well, listen, douchebag, here's what you get to experience. Time with your family, laughing.
Well, then I would sit and watch with them.
That's what I end up
play.
Doing.
Yeah, I would not play. I would just sit and watch, which I do. I watch the Call of Duty with my sons all the time.
Uh-huh.
They'll play for hours.
Why? Okay, so let me ask this. Why are we in the minority? Because to me, whether it's Jody Arias or it's trying to get on top of the magical sack of coins that the leprechaun is protecting, who's trying to fight me off with this magic mushroom, it just feels like one big zero to me.
Whatever it is, people will let us know on Twitter that it pisses them off.
That we feel this way.
That we somehow feel superior for being this way. No, I don't feel superior, just mystified.
I do feel a little superior. But not superior, just like what's... I guess the question is, what's in it for you?
Yeah.
That's what... And then the answer to what's in it for you is, I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah.
And then the next question is,
why are you enjoying yourself? That's what we don't understand. Why are you enjoying yourself?
So. Right. All right. Let's take ourselves a call. You got something you like there?
Let's do the Marine. Colette.
Right. Hold on. Don't read that.
All right.
Feel it.
All right. Go ahead. I can do it now?
Yeah.
All right. Stamps.com is something I am actually very excited about. My wife and I have been using Stamps.com for years.
Mm-hmm. True. I'd start reading his phone.
Hoping it was telling me I could stay here and not have to come in.
Right.
Anyway, let me stay back. Stamps.com is something I'm very excited about. It's something my wife and I have been using for years and years. We were early adopters. And when I first saw my daughter's ice skating pictures on a stamp, I was like, I was confused.
Made the Olympic team.
Yeah, right. I was like, yeah, this is where presidents go on stamps. What the hell is this?
Yeah.
I printed them. Mm-hmm. You printed stamps? You a counterfeiter?
Right.
Can you print money too? Is that, right? I mean, you printed these government issued.
I know.
I was confused.
It seems like it should be illegal.
Yeah. It seems like it's
the greatest compliment you can pay a business, this should be outlawed.
Right. It's too good. Well, anything, turns out, stamps.com, now that we're involved with them, I've come to understand more deeply, is a service through your computer. You can buy stamps, print them out on your printer, and you can do anything.
You don't buy stamps.
You just print them. Just print them.
You don't even print stamps. You just the postage. You put whatever.
Right.
Like I said, all right, here's a water bottle, Drew.
How much?
How much to get this to Des Moines?
Well, because there's a special offer, you get a digital scale that you hook into your computer, weigh the water bottle, print out the said postage. You get a $110 bonus offer. As we said, it's $55 free postage. So that first water bottle, free for sure.
Yeah.
But you have to enter ADS. That is the code that you'll see at the top of the homepage. And don't be confused. If you go to stamps.com, there's other sort of special offers there. Go to the right upper corner, type in ADS, and you'll get the $110 bonus, which is the best bonus that they offer. You get the scale. You get the free postage. And as I said, you can do anything you can do at the post office. You can do on your computer at home, including scheduling a pickup, having the return receipts, whatever it is. I'm very excited. So there you go, stamps.com.
All right. You got a call you like?
Yeah, let's do the Colette, line three.
Line three.
Hello there.
Colette.
Go ahead.
Like collect call, but not really. Don't call me. How are you?
Hold on. Is it Colette or collect?
It's Colette.
Colette. Did I say Colette?
Yeah, that's what you said.
I said Colette?
Hold on a second. We have a big problem in this society, Drew.
Really? Just one?
Let me explain.
Pronunciation of names?
Let's get back to Jody Arias, right?
Oh, Jesus.
Is it Jody Arias?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Can I tell you how many times I say to people where I go, we're having a guest on?
Yeah.
Let's just say she's exonerated and we're having Jody Arias as a guest.
Yeah.
And then I'll say, not Half-Tard Gary won't do this, but I'll say to someone, is it Arias? And they'll go, it's Arias. And I'll go, isn't that what I just said? And now we're confused.
Right.
See, if I say, is it Arias, they should go, correct. But instead, they always do that where they go, is it Arias? It's Arias. And you go,
I say? Well, that's what you just did to me. I was like, what did I say?
You said Colette.
All right.
Then she said Colette. And then she said, it's like collect.
Okay. See, my thing is, I've got a friend named Colleen.
Right. Colleen Williams.
Colette sort of went in that
same thing. No, Colette is an acceptable name.
Right.
But if you say it's like collect, then that sounds like it's different.
All right.
All right.
God, it must be tough to be Lynette.
Colette?
No.
Did I punch her up now?
You're very right.
All right. What's going on?
Hi. I was calling in today to ask a serious question about, I'm going through a divorce with my husband, which has been divorced. And we have been, I filed twice now. And I don't know how to, this time, really say it nicely when I feel that he fits the category of a domestic violence abuser.
Has he violently acted out?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And what would you like
to
do?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how to. He keeps saying, we're not going to get a divorce. I'm not going to lose you.
Yeah.
And he's used a gun on me before to threaten me.
Oh, God.
So.
Yeah. All right. So here's the thing. I just saw a thing on this. You get the restraining order thing, and then what you should insist on doing is having the marshals or what have you. There's a law on the books, which is they need to collect his firearm. Okay? That's right. They don't do it 3/4 of the time just because why would we have the manpower to do anything?
Is that all states?
50%
in taxes.
I'm assuming California's the worst when it comes to everything all the time.
Yeah.
because we pay the least in, oh, no, wait a minute. Anyway, I'll have to do that math one day. So what you do is you get the restraining order, and then you say to them, they're going to need to take his gun away. And that's a law that's on the books. And if they don't take the gun away, you are going to be on record as saying they should have. And then if something happens to you and he uses that gun against you, they're going to be sued out of business.
So have you filed a police report?
No, because he...
Forget because.
I've been very afraid to file anything.
No, Colette, please, for God's sakes. You talk to social services, you talk to police.
Yes, I talked to Cove and Ludington here, and also I've also spoke with a lot of people, and I could counsel and everything, but I also felt like if he did not have a career, then he'd really have nothing.
Colette, you've clearly done nothing that people have told you to do. I guarantee you they all said file a police report, get a restraining order. This is why these things exist.
Yes.
His criminal behavior is not something you can protect.
All right.
He will be okay. But
yes.
He's not going to be okay if you continue down this path and he kills you. What kind of career is he going to have then?
Right.
Stop it.
No,
file the report.
She's saying he has no career, so he's got nothing to lose.
No. I think she said if I file a report, he'll lose his career, then he'll have nothing to lose.
Oh, wait, does he have a career?
Yes, he works for a prison, a state prison. His family gave him his gun back when I told them to hide it.
No, Colette, I know you've done nothing that people have told you to do.
All right.
Although you've talked to the right agency.
We said it again.
Do it.
Don't do it and get that gun away from him.
Rochelle,
Brandon?
Oh,
sorry.
Brandon.
This is Brandon.
What's going on, Brandon?
Nothing much. How you guys doing?
Good.
Big fan. My issue is 28 years old, and I'm just at a place in my life where career-wise, I really want more.
Mm-hmm.
And where I'm at now, I'm okay if this is as bad as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to shoot for more, and there's just a fear of failure there.
Yeah, what do you do? What do you do for a living?
I work for a milk company. I just deliver milk. Mm-hmm. It's nothing too intricate, but I make a decent amount. You know, my wife makes the bulk of the money, but my contribution puts us in a good financial space.
Nice. All right. And
so good. You're working your way up.
You
want to do better things. That's good.
The thing about, you know, when it's like people asking the question, I'm scared. I'm not going to be as good a parent as I can be. I'm always like, you're done. You're covered. If you're scared. I don't think my dad ever asked that question. I'm scared that I'm not the best dad that ever lived. You know, when you're asking the question of how can I do this or how am I going to do it, you're on the right track.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
you
instead of
change.
Doing the part where you go, hey, man, I'm making $42,500 a year. I'm doing pretty darn good for myself.
But now that he's saying, I have a job. I'm working slowly. I've got the wife contributing. We're working our way together. That's how things happen.
Yeah.
Slowly.
Yeah, but slowly passes quickly. I mean, you go from
pirate ship didn't set sail instantly.
No, and now we're more than 4 years in. So here's the thing, Brandon. A couple things. When you're 28, things happen at a snail's pace. When you're 38, they start to move along. And when you're 48, you see a coffin at the end of the road going, feed me, feed me, as you sprint toward it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So what you can do is figure out what your company's doing. Does your company have legs? You know what I mean? Is there room for you in this company? And always realize people are watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I know my people well. I know that what's his face and what's his fuck over there versus what's his nose. I know all the ins and outs of those guys. The names are not coming to me right now, but you know what I'm saying.
You guys are staring at us?
I know the good ones and some of the other of those dudes. Possible chicks back there who may be doing a fair to middling job. So listen, what is your next move in this company? Like, people need to take a look. Hold on a second. Now, let me say this. I was having a conversation about this with my buddy Kevin Hench, who I'm writing a movie with, who now runs Tim Allen's sitcom, who's now making a ton of dough now. And I said, I had a conversation with myself when I was 22, 23, going, framing houses is not going to make me rich.
Right.
And I'll be driving a pickup truck, and then it's going to rain. And, you know, the other day where we live, it rained all day. Mm. Guess who wouldn't have worked that day? Mm-hmm. Guess who wouldn't have gotten paid that day? Mm-hmm. And then I thought, and then there's comedy. Maybe I can make more money doing that. My buddy Kevin Hench is a writer. He wrote for the Beat on the, you know, Times Picayune over there in like Brattleboro, Vermont or something, you know, covering the high school football team and stuff. But the end all and be all for him was to get to the Boston Globe or get to Sports Illustrated. Mm-hmm. But at a certain point, he realized the guys who are writing for the Globe weren't making that much. They were writing for the Boston Globe and they were covering the Celtics and not the local high school team, but they still weren't making that much money. And neither were the guys who were writing for Sports Illustrated. And then he ran into a guy who wrote for sitcoms and wrote for Hollywood. And this guy wasn't any good, but made a ton of money. So he did the Fair to Midland writer in Hollywood is making $1 million a year. And the best guy on the Boston Globe is making $150 a year or whatever it is. So he did that math and went, no more sports writing, going to focus on Hollywood writing. And now he's making a bunch of money. Mm. So there's that part where you have to sort of look. You know, my grandmother worked for the VA. It's a place where people who come in through the front door have no money. My dad worked for a place called 5 Acres, which was basically a foster home for kids that were, you know, pushed out into the wild. Obviously, they're not packing a big fat checkbook. So whenever you have a job where the people who come in don't pay you or have money, that's very limiting financially. It can be rewarding, but financially, if that's what you're after, is limiting. So first off, take a look at what the business is, and let's look at the upside. Is there that upside? And if there's not, you may have to move.
But know that the upside is going to be competitive. Otherwise, everyone would do it.
Thank you. Okay. All right, last call?
Real quick.
All right.
Then I got to go. And then by... I got to go.
You're so pussy whipped.
Listen, I'm pushing it. Listen, Gary's freaking out.
Oh, please. Who gives a shit? You just told me you're going to get there and sit around.
I know that.
Rochelle?
No, it's Lance.
Oh. Five. Didn't I hit line 5? All right, Lance.
Oh, hey. Can you take my call anyway?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll tell you the way Drew,
hey,
Drew would like to do it with GoToMeeting.
I would.
Yeah,
I'd
he could get in his car. And we could pop you up.
Yeah.
We get you into this call. You can you can do it in HD Faces, and it brought to you by Citrix. It's easy. And not only that, they got the built-in HD video conferencing. You could be on this right now, and you'd be like, well, I don't have a computer in my car. Who cares? Smartphone, tablet, iPad, you got one of those.
Yeah.
You could be rushing to HLN right now.
And I could hold the camera up. They could see me. I may be able to look at them necessarily, except during when the car stops.
Yeah. You start hosting face-to-face meetings, and you do it today with GoToMeeting free. Free! 30 days free! Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Adam.
And Adam. Don't forget. Mm-hmm. Adam or Adam and Drew?
That just promo says code. Adam on this
promo
one.
Promo code is
That's
Adam.
All
okay.
I got. That's
all right, you
I
get
got.
It free, mm-hmm. and you get – what's that, Gary?
No, this
you get
is
to
Lance.
Adam.
Okay, and you get to share the documents and work on the documents. That's the key thing at GoToMeeting that people forget. It's like, it's not just, you can do iChat just by seeing each other.
Yeah.
You can do that with your iPhone too, but you can't GoToMeeting the documents and work on each other's documents and add stuff and see what people are talking about and work on each other's presentations.
Lance.
That's why GoToMeeting is so cool.
Wow, you're a pro, Ace, man.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy. What's
hey,
up?
Yeah, I got a quick question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
My wife is about 9 years older than me. She's going through menopause.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she told me that now that she's going through menopause, when we have sex, it hurts her.
Yes, that's very common. There's a book on drdrew.com called Why Sex Hurts. You should get that for her. And it will convince her, I believe, to get on some hormone replacement.
It's also a Pat Benatar song.
Why Sex Hurts, yes.
No. It's using sex as a weapon, sorry.
But it's something that really, I think, is underutilized, and a lot of women aren't aware of how much benefit they can derive, particularly if they're having a lot of symptoms, from certain kinds of hormone replacement, both estrogen, progesterone, and very importantly, testosterone. So I strongly urge you to get her that book and discuss this with her, because a lot of women suffer, and they really – feel like they've regained a part of themselves when they get on replacement, and they're angry that somebody didn't tell them, like, this is, you know, it's been going on for a long time, and we can make you feel better.
They still
use
Premarin.
She doesn't want to go on hormones. That's her thing.
She what?
She's got a fear of going on the hormones.
Well, just read the book. Get the book.
Listen,
you use estrogen cream always, too.
But hold on a second.
What?
Everyone with their, she doesn't care. She's scared of dogs. Knock it off. Tell her to knock it the fuck off. You know what I mean? There's everyone with their, they don't, she doesn't want, they don't. You know, I have occasionally, you know my dog Molly. Mm. She's one, she wags her tail so hard she bends in the middle. Her whole fucking body just bends.
Yeah.
And she's wagging her tail and flopping around. And I would have a guy, the one guy who worked on my stereo, it was a fucking hack, would come over all the time. He'd be like, put the dog away.
Oh, geez.
You know, and I'd go, why? And he'd go, I was bit by a dog when I was young. Mm. And my answer to that is, by this dog?
Or just get over it.
Just get the fuck over it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, would that, let's replace dog with black people. I was mugged by a black guy when I was 14. Right. Okay, now you're 44.
That's how the human brain works, and it's not a good thing.
I know.
So
we, you know,
you're right.
Guess
we need to
what
overcome
we do?
It. We overcome
black
that.
People don't mug you,
yeah.
And
no,
not
no.
not all of them do.
Point
so
taken.
Move on.
Point taken.
So why don't we do it with fucking dogs and everything
else?
No,
we should do it with everything else. That's right.
Thank
because
you.
It would be better people, better humans, if we overcame that particular little glitch in our brain.
That's right. Would you like to be a better person? Me and Drew on tour, the reunion tour. Volume 1, baby, brought to you. I know a lot of you folks couldn't get out to Vegas or Salt Lake City or wherever we were. This is 3 shows, and it's just $4.99. It's available on iTunes. And put a little money in Drew's pocket, put a little money in my pocket. So, again, if you couldn't make these shows, it does not matter. We edited them down, and we got the best. I don't know. This thing's got to be, what, 3 hours, 4 hours long? Chris Mex paddle.
It's a little under 2.
Don't be a dick.
We took the best parts of each show and put them in.
Okay. That's still 2 hours, under $5. What can you say? Going to a worthy cause. So check that out. Also, if you'd like to support us, you can go check out the PayPal button and subscribe to the show. Again, therapists, what's that going to cost you? More than $5 a month. I guarantee you that. This way, you can subscribe. It's good juju, baby.
Good what?
It's good juju. It's good karma. Juju replaced karma. Didn't you hear that?
I didn't.
It's like a strip club.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Karma's got mono. We need juju at stage 4. Let's go. All right. So, until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew, Chris Max Pata, and Gary Haftard saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.